If you enjoy the harrowing of Minerva Damson and want to join the Order of Joan in their fight against the monsters stalking the trenches, there are several ways you can support the war effort. Find us on Patreon and enlist, or donate to the Order on Acast. You can also connect with Order headquarters via Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Links can be found in our bio. The Harrowing of Minerva Damson is a horror podcast and contains descriptions of war that some may find graphic or disturbing. Listener discretion is advised.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Goodness. Well, it has been several days since I was last down here, but I am back now, so yes. Though I can't say I love being down here alone in this musty little room in the basement archives, working down here does at least possess the virtue of not leaving me reeking of animal tallow at the end of the day. Alas, when picking a topic of research upon promotion, I can say with confidence that, in retrospect, I should have thought harder about the practical aspects of choosing one with tallow candles as its subject. Now, let's see, where were we? Oh, yes, the encrypted message. Oh, I haven't had the time to show it to anyone. The migraine I developed from using so much oil laid me out well and good for a whole day. And I can't say I thought much about it during that time. And then I was making those candles, and of course none of the other sisters were very keen on joining me for a chat during that time. I suppose that's just fine. I'd rather learn more about all of whatever this is before I go running my mouth about the Kaiser hunting couriers or non-existent ranks or women named Delilah. Here we are, the next file, labeled Cambridgeshire, 1916 to 1917. This one looks to be a series of correspondence from a Delilah P. to a Magistrix Colchester. Another Delilah, naturally. The ink looks strange, a bit runny around the edges. I believe this once appeared as any letter would, but with the application of some concoction and the right spell or some such, its true message was permanently revealed. That's a relief. Thank God I don't have to use more optical oil for this one. The first correspondence begins. Rituals at the mounds have proven successful, and I have finally learned their aim. Magistrix, they are courting one of the lords of the Wild Hunt. I do not believe it to be Gwynap Nuth or Wolden, whom no one less than a legendary warrior or holy person might hope to summon at will, nor would those lords treat with any whose stature and power did not equal King Arthur's. Perhaps it is Hurla, or St. Guthlac, or one of the other once human heads of the hunt. They would be the easiest to deal with, after all, and the destruction they might wreak would be less. Mr. Abernathy was quite shaken after the first encounter with the Lord of the Hunt. He did not go into great detail, though he clearly wished to. I shall work on learning more. What he did say was that the gifts they offered were almost not enough to ensure their safety from the Lord and his retinue. Negotiations are set to begin, however, between the British Department of Orthogonal Research, or as Abernathy calls them, DOR, and the Wild Hunt. And then Abernathy will draw up the draft contract. I have offered to help him with this burden however I might. We shall see if anything comes of it. In the meantime, I will do what I can to glean anything further and send it your way. End of first correspondence. Oh, Wild Hunt. Surely not a wild. The second correspondence begins. By God, Magistrix, they are not summoning a once human lord, but Hearn. Mr. Abernathy confessed to me today what they have been doing after drinking too much scotch. It was almost time for me to leave, and I went to check on him in his office, and the man was in his cups and absolutely beside himself. He said he did need my help after all, that he could not bear the weight of handling documents so important and binding all by himself. They have been negotiating with Hearn at the turning of each phase of the moon, in exchange for the use and direction of his hunt against the Germans. Hearn will exact a high price. To appease his fairy nature, he demands the delivery of 100 children to him to take away to the other lands. To appease him as a warlord, he demands the swelling of his Wild Hunt ranks with the souls of 100 soldiers. And to appease his fairy riders, he demands 100 human women of, quote, youth and beauty, end quote, to make their wives and mistresses. Magistrix, they plan to do it. They will take the children from orphanages, and they will take soldiers from hospitals, and they will take the women from brothels and shelters, and yes, even older girls from the orphanages too. They are making arrangements even now. This cannot be allowed to happen. The price is unacceptable. These men, these cowardly men, would pay for it not with their own sanity and skin, but with those of others who do not even know what is to befall them. And if Hearn's hunt is unleashed on a battlefield, there is no telling the damage he could cause, or how the blood might stoke the Wild Hunt's lust and power. Worse, what if the Germans attempt to summon up a hunt of their own? What if they make a pact themselves with Perchta or Woden or Holda, whose hosts are even greater and their riders and hounds more vicious? What more horrors could this unleash in a war already so horrible? Please, Magistrix Colchester, grant me permission to pursue an alternative and hopefully head off this coming disaster. Second correspondence ends. And here is the last correspondence. It begins, I believe I have done it. Abernathy asked me to copy the latest draft into a contract, and I have made my own additions here and there. Once he finished the final draft, Abernathy immediately went to drink again, and I don't think he'll crawl out of the bottom of his glass for a long time to come. Perhaps his lifelong. He barely looked at the contract I typed out. He noticed nothing amiss before he went to deliver it to his employers. What I have added will work, I believe. The door will break the new stipulations of the contract almost immediately, rendering their deal with Hearn null. The men, women, and children will be returned. The Wild Hunt will no longer be beholden to Dor. The men who made the deal and broke it will be put up as collateral. But even that is not enough, I believe. The Wild Hunt must accept this contract, and they are savvier than humans and may indeed review the document before agreeing to its terms. I must offer them more than just the lives of cowardly men. And I must be sure that even if my plans fail, I might yet head off what atrocities the Wild Hunt could commit, either at the behest of the British or in retribution for breaking the contract. If you do not hear from me again, and I hope you do not, for then my plan will have worked, know that I did what I thought was right. I will not be like those men who would risk everything and everyone but themselves. I feel no pity for them, for they were willing to damn us all with their meddling and magics they barely understand, with hardly a thought beyond what it would cost and how they could use someone else to pay for it. I do not pity myself either. If the Wild Hunt does not descend upon the field of battle, then I have found victory enough to satisfy me for an eternity. Third correspondence ends. There is one more page. A report of some kind. It says, Delilah P. missing in action, presumed dead. P. went missing the day of the last correspondence. Her employer, Mr. Edward Abernathy, knew nothing of her current whereabouts, and everything was as it should be in her apartment. Her luggage remained in the back of her closet. The last person to have seen her was her neighbor, a Mrs. Gladys Grinstead, whom she asked to care for her cat while she went on a, quote, rather long trip to see her family in the north, end quote. She paid Mrs. Grinstead £100 sterling to do so. Mrs. Grinstead agreed that it was too much, but said that P. insisted and grew so upset when she repeatedly refused payment that Mrs. Grinstead feared for P.'s health and finally accepted the money. One of our contacts within the British Department of Orthogonal Research sent word that an entire department of men were found dead in their offices the morning after P.'s letter was sent. It is rumored this was due to carbon monoxide poisoning. The building was subsequently aired out and its heaters checked for leaks. A small one was detected and repaired. An outpost in Owleton received a report 2 weeks later of a hunt along the River Neen. A farmer saw the riders, which he has seen before in years past, and mentioned that this time there was a woman riding at the head of the hunt alongside the Horned Lord. Outposts in the area are advised to report any further hunt sightings to their nearest headquarters and to pay particular attention to the heads of the hunt. If there is a female rider, they should make note of it and, if it is possible to safely observe the riders, try to give a detailed description of her appearance and manner. And here it says, as of March 23, 1917, we have received confirmation that the woman at the head of the hunt's description matches Delilah P's. After some internal debate, we have updated her status to retired and have appointed a new P. Report ends. No, this is preposterous, really. This can't have actually happened. She couldn't have actually given herself to the Fae. Could she? It's absurd. Hardly anyone sees the fair folk anymore in Britain, let alone bargains with them. No one in their right mind would do such a thing. And what is this about appointing a new P? Is Delilah a name or a position? I need to make some notes. Check into this British Department of Orthogonal Research or DOR. And Owleton. There should be a record of the farmer's account there, or at the nearest headquarters. Records of wild hunt sightings should be easy to request. Yes, I'll get to the bottom of this. I shall get to the bottom of this.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The Harrowing of Minerva Damson and its related stories are written, narrated, and produced by Jessica Linkhart, and features additional voice work by Miranda Lewis, Claire Miller, and Jamie Sykes. Art assets done in collaboration with Mitch Lewis. Thank you for listening. Our tale will continue next week.